familiar scriptures tonight. This is what I felt directed to. Philippians chapter 4. And we'll read verses 6 through 9. I know that probably you could quote at least probably verses 6 and 7, and again maybe even verse 8. But I guess if it's familiar already, that helps. You know it? Amen. Philippians chapter 4, and beginning at verse number 6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you tonight for the testimonies of your people, for your presence that we feel here tonight, for the anointing and the singing and the songs. And I pray that you would anoint the preaching of your word. Speak it to our hearts tonight. You know, Lord, the world we're living in, you know exactly where we're at in it and the circumstances that we're in. And I pray that you would bring strength and victory in lives tonight. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord, minister to us and help us not only to hear your word with our ears and not even only to understand with our mind, but to put it in our heart and apply it in our lives. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. She thinks we're leaving church, but I surprised her. Amen. I want to preach to you for a while tonight about winning over worry. Amen. I really don't know why I was directed to this, except earlier in the week I had read this passage in a little bit of a devotional, just kind of got on my mind. And I see four things in this passage that I read to you today that I think will give a prescription, maybe, if that's the right word, if you're suffering from anxiety or worry. Because we live in a troubling world, and humanly, we have enough to be worried about, you know what? I mean, I fully understand that. We worry about our personal health. We worry about our family health. We have housing and vehicles and insurance, and we worry about income and jobs and careers and financial matters and retirement and education and relationships, whether they're marriages or in family or in friendships. And the future seems so frightening at times. And even the present seems pretty frightening at times, you know. And it's just part of human life. But I believe that God's people can really win over worry. Not only do I believe we can, I believe we should. Hallelujah. Amen. If God has given us a way to live a life above the dragging down and the heavy weight of worry, man, we ought to take advantage of it. There's no reason why we should live below that privilege when God has made it available. And just in this passage I read to you right here, I want to point out four things. I didn't plan I was going to preach very long, you know, and usually if I'm going to preach, if I feel like I'm going to preach long, I kind of cut back a little bit on the other part of the service, you know. So you probably got used to that. So I'm not planning to preach too long to you tonight. But I think these things are important. First of all, you have to, number one, be prayerful. Amen. Now, Paul said that we're to be careful for nothing. And the word careful there means anxious, worried, or fretful. So what he said is, do not worry or be anxious about anything. Well, that's easy to say. You know, just to say, now don't worry, that's one thing. But Paul didn't just say, don't worry. He did say, but, in other words, instead of being careful or worried or anxious, in everything, by prayer and supplication, let your request be made known unto God. Amen. Now, we might as well be honest. We too often view prayer as one of those things that we're supposed to do, but we find it very hard to fit into a busy life. Amen. Matter of fact, We often come to resent what we see as pressure to pray. Now, I'm just talking honestly to you. I know as a preacher, you know, that I have to preach about it sometimes, and I sometimes sense that people feel a little bit of resentment about somebody pressuring them about praying. They feel like, you know, they're getting pushed by a preacher or a teacher or even a friend, because we too often have a very negative perspective about prayer. We almost act like that prayer is something God makes us do because He's punishing us. And that is not the case at all. Amen. Prayer is a privilege. Amen. Access to the God of all the universe. Think about that. I know you hear about it, but think about it. You have an open door of fellowship with God. And yet, there are a lot of us, we never really take God up on that invitation to come into His presence. And then we, if anybody says, hey, you need to be praying, you need to be praying, we kind of get defensive about it and irritated about it because we got 1,000 things to do, and a lot of times prayer don't make it anywhere close to the top of the list. Amen. But this divine power is made available to you and me, and not only adults but children. Think about the times our children have prayed and God's power moved in their life. Much of our worry, most of our worry, is the result of prayerlessness. That's right. Most of our worry is the result of prayerlessness. Amen. Because the Scripture says, in everything, by prayer. Now, human nature is such that if we really get pushed into the corner, we'll pray. If we get a bad diagnosis at a doctor, or we get a severe pain that we're not recognizing and we get kind of concerned about it, or if something happens in our family, it's kind of tragic, man, we can pray. But the Bible said in everything, and there's the key to being prayerful and winning over worry. You can't wait until your life is on the mat and you're being pinned down and suddenly say, man, I think I better pray. Whoa, they tell me I'm going to die. Man, I better pray. You ought to be praying long before that. Amen. This prayer, amen, is prayer in everything. Yes, in small things like Amber would think. And yes, in big things like Brother Dickie would know about. Amen. It's the whole range. We need to take it all to God in prayer. Amen. This matter. That's why I say in this point number one, I don't just say pray, but I say be prayerful. There's a difference. Because we all do pray at some time, but we ought to be prayerful. That's how we'll win over worry. Prayer is not only a request or a petition. That you got to understand, prayer is not just simply asking for something. Prayer's more than that. It's an exercise of faith. When you take time to pray and talk to God, you are saying by doing that you're dependent upon God. You pray, like Brother Mark already said, because you believe. If you don't believe, you don't pray. If you really pray, it's because you believe God and you trust God and you rely on God. And oh, what an antidote that is to worry when you really have faith in God. Jesus said that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Now, I know there's a lot of ways, no doubt, to look at that. But it looks like to me that there are simply two options given in that phrase. Either you pray or you faint. You know? I mean, that's the way I see it in my simple commentary. If you don't pray, you're going to faint. Amen. Little boy, his mom knelt down by him to pray that night. And he was praying. She was listening. He was telling God exactly what he wanted, how he wanted it. You know, and adults don't do that, but sometimes kids do. He was telling God. Mom tapped him on the shoulder and said, son, when you pray, you need to remember you're just reporting for duty. You don't tell God everything to do. You just put it in his hands and you report for duty. And you know, when we pray, we need to do that. Just pray to make ourselves available to God. We report for duty and say, okay, God, what do you want me to do? Amen. Instead of me trying to tell God what has to be done and how it has to be done and how I'm going to want it done and how I've already got it planned out and worked out. Amen. That is not prayer. Prayer is not giving God commands and telling Him what to do. Prayer is asking and seeking and knocking. Amen. Oh, how we'll get past a lot of worry if we will in everything by prayer and supplication make these requests known unto God. Amen. Then you got to follow that up by being positive. I know we're very wary of anybody who talks about positive thinking, positive confession. Because those things have been stretched by the charismatics to the point that they're not truthful anymore. However, being positive is still biblical. If you think it's spiritual to be negative, friend, you are absolutely wrong. If you think it's spiritual to be negative, you're wrong. Amen. Paul said, in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. Amen. Let your requests be made known unto God. There is nothing more positive than thanksgiving. That's why some people never do it. That's right. You can't give thanks and be negative. Hallelujah. And you can't be negative and give thanks. It's a positive expression. Amen. We have to give thanks. Gratitude is a positive attitude. Thankfulness is a positive attitude. Praise is positive, is it not? Amen. Worship, those are levels. All of them are involved in thanksgiving. Not just saying thanks, amen, but giving thanks and being thankful and giving praise and in worshiping. All of that is included in thanksgiving, and every bit of that is positive. Every time we're pressured by these problems in life, and every time we're pursued by these stressful circumstances, instead of focusing only on the problem and stressing out over the circumstance, we ought to take some time and give thanks. Now, this was not designed to be a Thanksgiving message, but the fact is, just because that legal holiday has passed by does not mean Thanksgiving ought to be over. Amen. If you want to get over worry, amen, you need to be prayerful and you need to be positive. I've mentioned it already before, but that song we sing, Count Your Blessings. That's a very positive experience. Name them one by one. And the phrase in that song says, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. I was thinking about that this afternoon. Count your blessings. Name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. That, you know, I'm not in the songwriter's head, but I'm thinking with the songwriter there that he knows a lot of people who don't think God's really done anything very good. And when they finally start counting the blessings, they say, whoa, wow, God's really done a lot. What is our problem? Amen. What's the deal? Why do we live our Christian life so negative? Why is it that we're always seeing the negative outlook, and the time that we're surprised is by something positive? It ought to be the other way around. Amen. We ought to be counting God's blessings, and we ought to be surprised if something bad happens. Oh, but it's hard to make human nature positive. Amen. I may have told you before, but it's so appropriate. My brother-in-law was going home from a rough day at work. Some of you, you know, that work days like that, you know what it's like. He had a headache. He didn't feel good. He got in rush hour traffic, bumper to bumper, wasn't hardly moving, frustrated. He had the Christian radio station on, listening to music, wasn't really hardly paying attention. All of a sudden, he noticed while he's sitting there frustrated and complaining and, you know, he hears this song. There's a lady on the air singing about having an attitude of gratitude. Well, he listened for a minute, and he said to himself, he told us this later, he said to himself, just in his own mind, that's easy for her to say, you know. She goes into a nice little studio, sings her nice little song, records it on a little CD, sells a bunch of records, they put it on the radio, you know. And, you know, it's easy for somebody to get to sing about having an attitude of gratitude because they don't have my life. They don't have my problems. They don't have what I'm going through. So he satisfied himself. He didn't need to have an attitude of gratitude. He just sat there complaining and grumbling the whole time. The song ended, and the DJ said, "That was Joni Erickson singing so-and-so," and suddenly it hit him like a ton of bricks. Joni Erickson. Whoa. Quadriplegic. Paralyzed from the neck down from an accident as a very young teenager. And she was the one singing about having an attitude of gratitude. Yeah, I'm going to tell you what. Some of us need to grow up. Amen. The stuff we're griping about and complaining about, it's ridiculous. Amen. We've got no reason to be so unthankful and so negative. We've got no reason to have doubt in our heart and doubt in our mind. Amen. God is good. And no matter how bad your circumstance gets, you can win over your worry if you'll be prayerful and be positive. Amen. That's why Paul follows it up by saying, amen, you need to think on these things. There are a lot of things that'll draw your mind away. You'll think about and fret about and stew about and worry about. Paul said, I tell you what you do. Take your thoughts and focus them on things that are true. How much of our worry is about stuff that at least at this moment is not even true? Focus your thoughts on what is honest, what is just or righteous, that which is pure, that which is lovely. Yeah, you don't worry a lot about things that are lovely, do you? No, he said, focus your thoughts of things that are of a good report. When's the last time you worried over something that was a good report? No, you're worrying about bad reports. Yeah, so Paul said it's because you're not supposed to be thinking about those bad reports. Supposed to be thinking about things that are of good report. Hallelujah. If there be virtue, amen. If there is praise, then think on these things. Every one of those things are positive things. Amen. Some of our problem is, amen, we are much too negative. Amen. Part of a worrying problem is a negative outlook and a negative attitude. And you know what happens? It'll put a negative atmosphere right in your home. There are some homes, they're just like the little cell in under the thunderstorm cloud. Who's that little guy in the old Peanuts comic? Everywhere he went, there was a little cloud. Follow them around. Yeah, here some people live like that. Their house is nothing but a negative storm cloud. You walk in and you feel the lightning ready to strike. The clouds are heavy. They're black and they're dark. And it's all doom and gloom. I tell you what, I don't want to live in a place like that. Why should you? Amen. I believe we need to have a positive approach. Amen. I felt the Lord deal with me when I preached to the marriage conference. Part of what I preached to families, amen, they need to dwell on the positive and not on the negative. For goodness sake, some of us are going around with our lip dragging the ground and our nose in the dirt. Amen. Well, we ought to have our head in the air and our hands in the air. Amen. Giving God praise because He is worthy. Hallelujah. Amen. If you're serving the devil, you got every right to be negative. But if you're serving God, amen, you ought to be looking up and not down. Well, hallelujah. I don't guess Kenneth Hagin's going to invite me to come preach at his Bible school. But right now, I think I could preach pretty good about positive thinking and positive confession. The little woman with the issue of blood said to herself, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I'll be made whole. Oh, that's just positive confession, positive confession. Okay, what she ought to say is, I ain't never going to get healed. I'm going to die with this. Oh, now that's much better, sister. Oh, yeah, it wouldn't do any good if I touched the Lord. I would never get healed. Yeah, that's a lot better. We don't believe in no positive stuff. Well, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. Maybe you need to turn that around a bit. Well, every battery's got to have a positive and a negative. Yeah, I know. But a battery with two negatives is not doing any good. Amen. All right, I'll go on. That's a positive move, isn't it? Be prayerful. Be positive. Be purposeful. Amen. I love just the way you read that whole passage. He says, don't worry about anything. Pray about everything. Be thankful. Make those requests known to God, and then let His peace guard your heart and your mind. Amen. I feel like every one of us need to understand the matter is one of purpose. Amen. Our lives are not just flailing around like somebody who's drowning. Amen. Oh, what a sight. Amen. Even to imagine in your mind somebody who doesn't know how to swim and they're drowning and this arm's going this way and that arm's going that way. Every once in a while a leg will come up and the head will come up and the head will go down. It's chaos. And anybody who tries to rescue them finds themselves in danger too. Amen. But if you're living for God, amen, your life has purpose. Amen. We ought to have goals that are set, amen, that we're reaching for. We're not just flailing around lost in life. We're going somewhere. We need to have purpose to what we do. If you don't have purpose, you can't help but worry and fret. Because you're like a ship that's just out there drifting on the sea. However the wind blows, and however the waves move, that's where it's going to go. Has no destination, has no set course, has no determined direction, just drifting. Wow, what a pitiful way to live. Just merely existing from day to day is not purpose. Amen. It just causes you to be uncertain and unsettled, makes you have worry and anxiety. Amen. Paul said in Ephesians 3:11 that we are called, quote, according to the eternal purposes which He purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. So when we got saved, amen, we left the world that is purposeless. Amen. They really are like rats in a rat race and people on a treadmill that are just running for all their worth and getting nowhere at all. Amen. But the child of God's life is not like that. Amen. We have been called according to eternal purposes. Amen. Our goal is not to make another dollar bill. Our goal is not to have a bigger house or a nicer car. If those things happen, so be it. That is not the purpose of the Christian life. If that's the purpose of your life, that is not the purpose of a Christian life. The purpose of the Christian life is to obey God and make it to heaven. Anything that happens between here and there, well, we deal with it, but we have a purpose. We're pressing past that. That's why if all the purpose you have is material and physical, you're going to worry a lot. Amen. Praise the Lord. Someone has said, if you aim at nothing, you'll hit it every time. You know, a few years ago, a man named Rick Warren wrote a book. He's taken a lot of criticism for it. I've heard preachers in our own movement criticize him for it. And the fact of the matter is, I've read it. And most of it is very good. He called it the purpose-driven life. And to me, it's very elementary. I mean, I'm not acting like I'm a hoity-toity, you know, but he wrote it in a very simple way. But the fact of the matter is, there are too many people who live with no purpose. And then they wonder why they don't feel any fulfillment and satisfaction. If you have no goal, you can't ever reach one. You know, you may think you're a motivational speaker here tonight. I'm just trying to tell you, amen, that part of your trouble with worry, amen, you've got to have purpose. Amen. There are too many people that are trying to live with no purpose whatsoever. And a life that really does have purpose, amen, that's following a course that's set out not by self, but by God, it will be a life with less worry. Praise the Lord. I know not everybody is goal-oriented. Some people weren't wired that way. And some are going to be more so than others. But every Christian ought to have purpose and be goal-oriented when it comes to living for God. Amen. If your house don't ever get 100% organized and your desk don't ever get 100% organized, your life for God ought to be organized enough to have purpose to it. Amen. You know what's interesting, and I'll move on. But, you know, children are, they're bad about keeping things straight. They like to use something, lay it down, use something else, lay it down, use something else, lay it down. They, you know, it's not that they're filthy, dirty, just that a room will just get cluttered. Stuff. And you know what we have found? Now, my kids aren't bad about that. I'm not trying to pick on them. But what we have found, when a room, even a room has kind of been set aside as a play area, when an area like that gets cluttered, they quit playing in there. They don't go in there anymore. And then one day, you or your wife or both of you will say, man, that place is a mess. And you go in there, you put it all back, you put this here and that there, and hit there, you walk out, and it's nice. You know what? Next thing you know, they're right back in that room playing again. If you'll clear out some of the clutter in your life, you'll feel a whole lot more comfortable in there again. Avoiding it does not solve the problem. You got to clear it out. Hallelujah. All right, let me finish up. Be prayerful, be positive, be purposeful, and be productive. Amen. Verse 9 of our text said, those things which ye have learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. All right? So you're praying. You have a prayerful attitude in your life. You're being positive about life. You're looking to the Lord and following His Word. You have purpose for your life. Now you need to be productive. Amen. You need to make your life count. I don't understand why people act like their life is nothing but a merry-go-round. They've jumped on and they're going around and around and around and around and around and around, and they're not accomplishing anything at all for God. Come on, you need to have a life that is productive. What you have heard, you almost all of you have come here long enough, you've heard me preach hundreds of sermons. And they weren't all real good. I know, but they all had some little something in there that would help you. You have heard a lot. Amen. You've received a lot. You've learned a lot. You've seen it in godly examples. You need to do it. Why is it that some people will always seem like they hear, but they won't ever do? And then they worry in their life. They worry. You think they ought to know better. And they do know better, but they're not doing any better. Do is a word of action. And do is a word of accomplishment. Isn't it? To do something. It's not just talking about it. It's not even just trying it. It's doing it. Hallelujah. When's the last time you ever took on any spiritual goal in your life and did it? Not talk about it. Not even just pray about it. Do it. When's the last time you really did it? I don't know how many times we, including myself and all of us, we have said, oh, no, I'm not praying enough. I need to do better. I know I haven't been going to church enough. I need to do better. Pray. I need you to pray. And we don't do it yet. Hey, there comes a time when you have to do it. Amen. The old saying is, the idle mind is the devil's workshop. And so it is with idle hands. They become the devil's tools. When a child of God is not accomplishing anything spiritual, it creates chaos in their life. There's no purpose there. And they're not positive anymore. And they don't pray like they should. It all goes downhill from there. Amen. God wants our lives to count. Amen. You may never have your name up in lights on a marquee. I don't guess I ever have. I really don't care if I do. But I feel like in my spiritual life there are things that I have accomplished and things that I want to accomplish. I'm not just going around in circles and have nothing at all to get done. In earthly life, there are some people that are like that. They jump from this to this to this to this to that to that to that to that. And they're still jumping when the end of their life comes, and they never really accomplished anything. Spiritually, some are the same way. But the Bible said we're not to be slothful in business, but we're to be fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. There is our purpose, and we need to be productive in serving the Lord. Again, Hebrews 6:12, that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherited the promises. Amen. So we are told to be fervent in spirit, to serve the Lord, to have faith and patience and keep pursuing God's promises. I tell you what, amen, I really believe if you'll take these four things out of this passage tonight, amen, and be prayerful and positive and purposeful and productive, you will win over worry because you won't have much time to worry. Hallelujah. Well, praise the Lord. Amen. The Bible is above all things practical, you know it? And if we want the promises of the Bible to come true in our life, we also have to put the conditions to practice. Hallelujah. Let's stand tonight. Praise the Lord. My. I felt the Lord right here tonight. Amen. I don't know. I don't know your exact circumstance. I don't know your exact situation. I don't know all the ins and outs of it. I don't. But God does. Man, we've already been encouraged so much tonight about God's great blessings on us. Hallelujah. Oh, if you can somehow reach out through that fog that you think you're in and feel like you're in, get a hold of the promise of God. Take His word to your heart and to your life. Instead of making excuses, put it to practice. Hallelujah. Now, I tell you what, I believe you'll see a turnaround in your spiritual experience. Amen. With every head bowed, every eye closed. Are you here tonight and you say, you know, Brother Gallagher, I feel like I'm living that life. It's just in chaos. It's unorganized. It's full of worry and anxiety. There's no peace, no purpose there. I really need the Lord to help me with that. Would you be willing, when nobody's looking around, just raise your hand up and put it back down? Admitting it is part of it. You know it? Are you living in that negative, anxious, uncertain life